Hello and welcome to podcast 4. Today we are going to discuss the sending and receiving of immediate payments in euros. As you may remember, we discussed this in the last podcast, but the draft hadn't been published then, and rather than discuss what might be happening, we're now going to discuss what has happened. But before we get any further, I do need to apologize because I did say in the last podcast that we were going to talk about the digital euro in this one, which we're now expecting very early next year. However, because this has changed, we're going to change our schedule too, and we will come back to the digital euro. However, this regulatory change has been brought forward, so we will start to unpack it today. I am so pleased to be joined by Monica Monaco. Monica.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure to have you as a rock star on these podcasts, Monica, as you know. So now we have the draft regulation, and I keep on having to say to myself, the draft regulation that we've been talking about for some time. So this is the regulation of European Parliament and the Council, amending regulation number 260/2012 and 2021/1230 as regards instant credit transfer in euro. My word, that's a mouthful. However, this has effectively been brought forward.
Yes, indeed. So, Paul, the European Commission published on the 26th of October the regulation on instant payments. The provisional date for publication was announced during summer. So we thought it would have been 7th of December, but then the date was changed. And so in the end, it was the 26th of October, indeed. So the regulation amends two pieces of law. It, as you were mentioning, it amends the SEPA regulation from 2012, and it also amends the regulation on cross-border payments from 2021.
So there's some subtleties in here, which we'll get to in a minute, but we're going to cover this now because it's released as a draft. Now, obviously, there's work to be done on that, and we'll discuss that time frame as well. So we're going to cover it today, but what we're really going to try and do over the next 20 minutes or so is to really unpack why has this been introduced, what has actually been drafted, and when will this go through Parliament, and when will banks need to comply? However, I think the key place to really start is, because it's a very subtle point, but a key point, I think, that the change of the release date has come forward.
Yes, indeed, the release date has come forward, which explains how important this is for the European Commission, that the adoption of this regulation is as quick as possible. So we know that there is the recess of the European Parliament in May 2024. And so the sooner laws are published now, the more it's possible to ensure they will be final before the Parliament recess. So the fact that this was indeed released in advance means that it's a very important piece for the Commission. So if you look at what it is in the motivation for this, we can say that the explanatory memorandum to the proposal explains that for the European Commission, instant payments have an enormous potential benefit to consumers and businesses, but they are impeded in their development by the slow rollout and low uptake of instant payments. And so they also provide figures saying that at the end of 2021, only 11% of euro credit transfers sent in the EU were instant payments. And so this is the reason for which the Commission is intervening.
Yeah, and it's really, to be fair, if you look at it from the Commission's point of view, they've been nudging and pushing and nudging through, in fact, PSD, its revision, PSD2, and of course, RPS, which we reviewed with Ciao, late last year. But the truth of the matter is they have been nudging and pushing for quite some time now, haven't they?
Yes, and this is absolutely true. So the first time we started to see the Commission talking about instant payments was already in 2018. So there was a European Commission communication that was published in December 2018 about the stronger international role of the euro. It was called Towards a Stronger International Role of the Euro. And in this communication, the Commission already supported a fully integrated instant payments market in the EU in order to reduce the risks in retail payments and to increase the autonomy of the existing payment solutions in Europe. That was 2018. Then in its communication in 2020 about the retail payment strategy for the EU, that was September 2020, the Commission announced that if appropriate, they would propose legislation requiring payment service providers in the EU to offer instant payments in Europe by end of 2021. And then what we saw is that the Commission included this initiative on instant payments, so a legislative initiative in instant payments, in the Commission work program for 2022. And so what we have now is exactly what has been already mentioned many times, at least since 2018. So it's indeed a legislative intervention on instant payments from the European Commission.
It kind of feels to me like the Commission has really said, look, we think this is really important. And we've asked you once, we've asked you twice, we've outlined a complete strategy. But, you know, there's still only 11%. As you say, of the transactions going through immediate payments. Enough's enough. Now we want to move from it being what we'd like you to do, and certainly from a directive to a regulation. And I think that's a key message, as you say. I mean, there has been a lot of work today to actually try and get us here. But let's try and unpack, you know, why. You know, because it seems that there is such a big driver here. And it seems to me that the EU sees that immediate payments will bring about new solutions for payments that cannot be delivered with the current payment rails. And especially, as they call it, at the point of interaction. They see that immediate payments release funds a lot more rapidly. It reduces the time lag that the current systems require. And they're also seeking a ubiquitous pan-EU immediate payment zone. And that's a very large zone in its own right. But of course, it also underpins, I believe to be the biggest strategy that it's trying to drive, is it needs to get the immediate payments in play across the whole of the Eurozone so that it can really focus in on its open finance strategy.
Yes, it's very true. And there is a clear link to open finance, which we have indeed in the regulation on instant payments. In fact, when we read the regulation on instant payments, we see that the text says that until the review of the Settlement Finality Directive, payment institutions and e-money institutions will not be prevented to offer instant payments on a voluntary basis, but they will not be covered in scope by the proposal, so they will not be obliged to offer and receive instant payments until the Settlement Finality Directive is reviewed. So to allow open finance, there is indeed a need to review the Settlement Finality Directive, because via this review, payment institutions and e-money institutions will have direct access to central bank money. So we see, when we put together this idea of reviewing the Settlement Finality Directive, and we link it to the instant payments regulation and to the open finance framework, we see indeed that the Commission vision encompasses a situation in which payment institutions and e-money institutions compete with banks in the provision of instant payments, but also in the open finance domain. Now, of course, liquidity is a key element in providing instant payments. And so it is for this reason, as indeed payment institutions and e-money institutions don't have yet access to central bank money, that the regulation on instant payments says that for the time being, payment institutions and e-money institutions can offer on voluntary basis instant payments, but they're not obliged to do. Of course, once there is a review of the Settlement Finality Directive, which we understand could indeed take place in the text of PSD3, then this regulation will of course change in consequence. Huh? So there is indeed a very strict link between the regulation on instant payments and the open finance framework, both referring to the review of the Settlement Finality Directive.
Yeah, indeed. And indeed, so, you know, as ever with these things, there can be nested pieces, but in effect, as we were preparing for this, you were saying it's, you know, it's relatively simple in the fact that it's only 21 pages, which seems an awful lot for somebody like me. But as you rightly pointed out, some of the other pieces have been hundreds of pages. But really, it's a relatively simple piece of work. And there are only really a few chapters that really jump out. Perhaps you could just walk us through some of the key tenets of what's in the amendment.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a very precise piece of law. I personally like it very much. It's very clear and very short. And this is indeed an amendment of the SEPA regulation from 2012 and of the regulation on cross-border payments from 2021. So what does the regulation say? First of all, it has four new definitions. So the definition of instant credit transfers, the definition of payment service user interface, the definition of payment account identifier, and the definition of listed person or entities. And is also amending the definition of retail payment system as it was provided in the SEPA regulation. Now, what do payment service providers have to do to comply with the regulation on instant payments in its current form? Well, first of all, they will have to provide credit transfers in euro, and this must be offered both in terms of sending and receiving. Moreover, payment service providers will have to receive payment orders and be reachable for instant payments 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, without any possibility to set up some cut-off times or limit the processing of instant payments to business days only. Of course, as we already discussed, payment institutions and electronic money institutions are excluded from this requirement, given in fact that they don't have access to central bank money. When it comes to customer interfaces via which orders for credit transfers may be submitted, these customer interfaces will have to also allow the submitting of orders to for instant payments. And where a payment service provider provides the option of submitting multiple payment orders for credit transfers together in a bulk, what we call bulk payments, it must offer the same service for euro instant payments too. Now, the introduction of these requirements then has different separate dates to comply with and to enter into force, depending on whether it's on the receiving side or the sending side, and also on whether the payment service provider is in the Eurozone or outside of the Eurozone. And for being outside of the Eurozone, payment service providers who are outside of the Eurozone will have up to 30 months after the entry into force to regulation to receive instant payments in Europe, and up to 36 months after the entry into force of the regulation to send instant payments in euro. While for payment service providers which are in the Eurozone, the deadlines will be 6 months and 12 months respectively. So that's the first change, which is a very important change. Then there is something about charges. So charges applied by payment service providers for sending or receiving instant payments in euro. And these charges are qualified as not having to be higher than the same payment service provider charges for sending or receiving a non-instant credit transfer in euro. Now, this obligation about the charges level applies to payment service providers, but also applies to payment institutions and electronic institutions if they are providing instant payment services on a voluntary basis. It will apply for payment service providers in the euro area as from 6 months after the entry into force of the regulation, and to payment service providers outside of the euro area as of 30 months after the entry into force. Something also quite interesting, there is a provision about IBAN and the verification of it. So there is an obligation for the payers to verify the discrepancies between the name and the payment account identifier of the payee in the case of Euro instant payments. So this means that all payment service providers that offer instant payments will be required to provide their payment service user with a service checking that the payee's IBAN matches the payee's name and notifying the user of any detected discrepancy. So this is also very important, and it's a new feature of some, for sort of a new obligation. Now, this obligation will apply to both national and cross-border instant payments. And so the payment service providers will have to notify the payer in case there is no matching before the instant payments payment order is finalized and before it is executed. In any case, of course, the user will have complete discretion in this case on whether or not to submit a payment order. So quite interesting and quite important also as a developer. And finally, there is something also about sanctions. So there will be an obligation for payment service providers to verify at least once a day whether any of their customers are designated persons or entities which are subject to EU sanctions. And if the payer or payee payment service provider fails to comply with this verification requirement, they will be liable for financial damages to the other payment service provider involved in the instant payment. And this requirement will apply to all payment service providers that are covered in the instant payments regulation as from 6 months after entering into force. So if you see, if you want, the key provision are five, but they're extremely detailed and extremely important.
A very short, sharp piece of work. And I think it's a very, very powerful change. Effectively, it's bringing into the Eurozone a ubiquitous immediate payment. So, you know, that's a huge region in its own right. But really, for me, it's about it's the underpinning. And it's really the open payments on which open banking and especially now open finance can be built on top. And without it, it's very difficult to get to the goals that the EU would like to drive. But it also feels as if it's been drafted with the Commission's game face on, if you understand what I mean. There's a couple of things that really jump out to me. By bringing this into a regulation with existing rails already in place, it's amending work that's already been done. It makes it easier to define and it makes it logically very coherent. And it's kind of hard to argue with from that point of view. Now, clearly people will want to argue with it, but by making it a regulation, it effectively says this is what we will bring into law. And it's not a directive. It is, and hence it's now not malleable by local countries. This is a pan-EU or will be a pan-EU law. So that's kind of trying to head off things that might be amended further down the line. And by also bringing in this not being able to charge more for the service effectively prevents a potential stalling mechanism by having it as a value-added pricing methodology, i.e. effectively pricing it out of the market and stopping it being adopted. And I think those three things jump out at me as the Commission saying, hey, this is really important. We've thought this through. Here's a couple of things that might have got in our way, and we've thought them through, and we've planned around it accordingly. I think one of the other things that I think is actually significant is one would suspect that a major portion of the ACH traffic, as you talked about before, will now start to rebalance through immediate payments, because that would be logically quicker and easier to do for the end consumer. And this really starts to facilitate it, which I guess brings us to something that you've already started to highlight, which is the timings, which, of course, it's never easy to be absolute. But one would suspect that it will take about 18 months to go through Parliament. Is that about right, Monica?
Yes, indeed. So in terms of timeline now, what is going to happen is that the Parliament will have to appoint a rapporteur on the proposal who will be responsible for the European Parliament views on the text of the regulation. And then once the rapporteur is appointed, he or she will have to draft the report, and then this will have to be discussed in the committee responsible for the file, and then will have to be amended. And at the same time, the council will also start the analysis of the text. And then at the end of this analysis of the text from the parliament side and from the council side, once the parliament has a position and the council also has a position on the file, then we will enter in what is called the interinstitutional negotiation, which either we call here the trilogues, which indeed will then come up with the final text. So all the procedure from now on is indeed going to take approximately 18 months. This being said, it could be longer if no agreement is found. So we will have to see how long does it take. But yes, indeed, we could estimate the length of the legislative procedure in 18 months from now for the text to be final.
Okay. And, you know, so effectively, it's from the point that it actually gets passed into law, it'll be another 6 months to receive and then a further 6 months to send. But as you also, you know, touched upon earlier on, for those that are outside of the Eurozone, there are some other timeframes that come into play as well.
Yes, indeed. So nearly every provision refers to differences in terms of a timeline for entities which are in the Eurozone and entities which are outside of the Eurozone. So typically, Article 5A, so the obligation of receiving and sending, explains that receiving of instant payments in euro for payment service providers that are in the Eurozone will be obligatory as of 6 months after the entry into force of the regulation, while sending of instant payments in euro for payment service providers in the Eurozone will be obligatory as of 12 months after the entry into force. And this is for the Eurozone. And so for the outside the Eurozone, receiving of instant payments in euro for payment service providers outside the Eurozone will enter into force as an obligation 30 months, so 30 months after entry into force. And the sending of instant payments in euro for payment service providers outside the Eurozone will enter into force 36 months after the entry into force. So we're talking about 3 years. And this is mainly because of, let's say, the differences between the national currency and the euro. And you understand that also when we look at the way in which charges are built, this will take further consideration for these services to be provided respecting the charges provision if the entity in question is outside of the Eurozone. It's the same with the Article 5b about charges. It explains, in fact, that it will apply for payment service providers in the euro area as of 6 months after entering into force of the regulation, while for payment service providers outside of the euro area, it will enter into force as of 30 months after the entry into force of the regulation. So as you see, it will allow further, basically the regulation is saying that this will require further time. So they're allowing extra time for compliance, precisely for entities which are outside of the Eurozone, because they will have to check how they do with the national currency and which are the charges and levels of the national currencies in this respect.
Yeah, indeed. However, for those banks within the Eurozone, this is really, let's say it's 18 months and then a further 6 months to receive and another 6 months to send. That's actually very tight timescales. For them, one suspects that people will start to be working away very soon, especially, you know, and work on the draft, because otherwise it's going to be very difficult to actually comply. However, if we were to summarize this up, what seems in many ways like a relatively simple change, it is actually quite deep, and it really is, you know, key infrastructure for fast, ubiquitous digital payments that underpins open finance. And I think that's the key of what this is all about.
Yes, I would agree. I mean, this is really about building instant payments as a very good solution that could be used instead if the price is not high, and in this case the price is not going to be high because it's going to be regulated, it could be replacing other forms of payments to a certain extent. So indeed, it's a very powerful piece, and the Commission has explained, has decided to intervene because of the relatively slow take-up of instant payments this far for a number of market conditions, including, of course, the pricing that they currently have when they are proposed.
Yep, indeed. Okay, well, we'll see over the next 18 months or so. But as ever, thank you so very much, Monica. If you, dear listener, do have any questions, please do let us know. Drop us a comment, or if the things you want us to unpack, then again, please do let us know. Next time, I promise we will get to CBDCs. For now, thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Paul. And thank you for listening.